ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 4 ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज टेक्स्ट 4। अर्जुनः उवाच अपरं भवतः जन्म परं जन्म विवस्वतः कथम् एतत् विजानीया त्वम् आदौ प्रोक्तवान् इति। अर्जुन उवाच अपरं भवतो जन्म परं जन्म विवस्वतः कथमेतद्विजानीयाम् त्वमादौ प्रोक्तवानिति। अर्जुन उवाच अपरं भवतो जन्म परं जन्म विवस्वतः कथमेतद्विजानीयाम् त्वमादौ प्रोक्तवानिति। अर्जुन उवाच अपरं भवतो जन्म परं जन्म विवस्वतः कथमेतद्विजानीयाम् त्वमादौ प्रोक्तवानिति। विवस्वतः कथमेतद्विजानीयाम् त्वमादौ प्रोक्तवानिति। माताजीस् ओके अपरं भवतो जन्म Matajis, Arjuna uvacha, Arjuna said, aparam, junior, bhavataha, your, janma, birth, param, superior, janma, birth, vivasvataha, of the sun god, katham, how, etat, this, vijaniyam, shall I understand, tvam, you, adau, in the beginning, proktavan, instructed, iti, thus. Translation. In purport by Srila Prabhupada also. Translation. Arjuna said, the sun god Vivasvan is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed this science to him? Purport. Arjuna is an accepted devotee of the Lord. So how could he not believe Krishna's words? The fact is that Arjuna is not inquiring for himself, but for those who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or for the demons who do not like the idea that Krishna should be accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For them only Arjuna inquires on this point, as if he were himself not aware of the personality of Godhead or Krishna. As it will be evident from the 10th chapter, Arjuna knew perfectly well that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fountainhead of everything, and the last word in transcendence. Of course, Krishna also appeared as the son of Devaki on this earth. How Krishna remained the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, the eternal original person, is very difficult for an ordinary man to understand. Therefore, to clarify this point, Arjuna put this question before Krishna so that he himself could speak authoritatively. That Krishna is a supreme authority is accepted by the whole world, not only at present but from time immemorial. And the demons alone reject him. Anyway, since Krishna is the authority accepted by all, Arjuna put this question before him in order that Krishna would describe himself without being depicted by the demons, who always try to distort him in a way understandable to the demons and their followers. It is necessary that everyone, for his own interest, know the science of Krishna. Therefore, when Krishna himself speaks about himself, it is auspicious for all the worlds. To the demons, such explanations by Krishna himself may appear to be strange, because the demons always study Krishna from their own standpoint. But those who are devotees heartily welcome the statements of Krishna when they are spoken by Krishna himself. The devotees will always worship such authoritative statements of Krishna because they are always eager to know more and more about him. The atheists who consider Krishna an ordinary man may in this way come to know that Krishna is superhuman, that he is Satchidananda Vigraha. तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishay Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare This chapter has many many important verses that are often quoted. Some of the many many popular verses of the Gita are to be found in this chapter. And this particular verse marks the background question that sparks off a series of such popular verses. It is Arjuna's questions that prompt Krishna to reveal more and more about himself. In this chapter, we see Arjuna talking about his eternal form, his eternal nature, about his appearances within this world, and so on. The reason for Arjuna's question is the previous three verses. Arjuna has heard from Krishna, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vivasvan Maneve Praha Manur Ikshvakave Bravit. That I first instructed this science to the sun god, Vivasvan, who instructed it to his son, Ikshvaku, who in turn instructed this to his son, Manu. Manu here is Vaivasvata Manu, Shraddha Dev. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu. So in this way, this knowledge that I first gave to the sun god came down in a string of qualified spiritual masters who are all saintly kings also, in the parampara or disciplic succession of Raja Rishis. So my dear Arjuna, the knowledge that I am giving you now is not new. And this is not the first time I am speaking. I have already spoken this knowledge earlier, many times before. And specifically, I spoke this to the sun god, Vivasvan. And somehow or other, it was lost. And therefore, I am reviving this knowledge. Sa evayam mayatedya yoga proktah puratanah. Bhakto sime sakhacheti rahasyam hetat uttamam. Because you are my very dear friend and devotee, so I am speaking this knowledge once again to you. In other words, Krishna has made the very astonishing statement, astonishing from a material point of view, that he has spoken this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita much, much earlier to the sun god Vivasvan. In the purports earlier to this verse, Srila Prabhupada has calculated how much time before this was, many millions and millions of years ago. Of course, we should not think that the Bhagavad Gita, as Krishna spoke to Vivasvan, the sun god, was exactly like the Bhagavad Gita we have in front of us. 18 chapters and 700 verses, and each chapter with a different certain title. It may have been presented in a different format. So Krishna is saying that the knowledge that is presented is eternal, and that was given by him much, much earlier to the sun god. So naturally, this sparks the question from Arjuna, Because Arjuna sees Krishna as his friend. And they were contemporaries. They were more or less of the same age. Bhima and Yudhishthir were elder to Arjun. Nakul and Sahadeva were younger. So Krishna was actually of equal age to Arjuna. And he respected Bhima and Yudhishthir as his elder brothers. So whenever he would meet Yudhishthir and Bhima, he would actually bow down. And Yudhishthir and Bhima would embrace Krishna. Even though Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but out of brotherly affection for Krishna, they would accept his respects, his offering of respects. With Arjuna, Krishna would simply embrace because they were equals in age. And as far as Nakul and Sahadeva were concerned, they would bow down before Krishna, not necessarily because he was Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because he was the older brother, older cousin. Therefore, even in worldly dealings, they would deal with him like that. And Krishna, in return, would embrace them. This is actually the Vedic culture, that from young to old comes respect, from junior to senior comes respect, and from old to young and from senior to junior comes love and affection and shelter. This is the way the world goes on. If either of these two are disturbed, then there will be an imbalance in the society. There will be disturbance all over in the society. And amongst equals, of course, of same age, of peers, there is an exchange of affection and friendship. So because Arjuna and Krishna were contemporaries, so now he's asking the question, I am only 100 and something years old, 125. Actually, the time of Bhagavad Gita, both Krishna and Arjuna were around 125 years of age, roughly. So you are saying that you spoke to the sun god? But the sun god is millions of years old. He was born millions of years before you and me. So how am I to believe? Katham etat vijaniyam tvam ado proktavan iti. Katham, how? Etat, this, vijaniyam, shall I understand? How am I to understand? Tvam, that you, adau, in the beginning, proktavan iti, that you spoke thus to the sun god Vivasvan. Because aparam bhavatah janma. Bhavata means you, so your janma, your birth is aparam. It is inferior, that means you were born later. You are junior. Param janma vivasvatah. And vivasvan, vivasvatah means of vivasvan. So vivasvan's birth or janma is param. It is superior to yours. In other words, he is senior to you in age by far, by many, many millions of years. So how am I to understand that you spoke to him? In fact, that you instructed him as his superior. It's natural if someone says, well, I just spoke yesterday to Napoleon, King Napoleon. We'll say, well, how is that possible? You are only about 30, 40, 60, 70 years old and Napoleon lived 300 years or 200 years ago. So how is it possible that you spoke to Napoleon? And this is not just 200 or 300 years ago, this is millions of years ago. So naturally Arjuna's question is important. But Srila Prabhupada begins the purport by saying, since Arjuna is an accepted devotee of the Lord, how could he not believe Krishna's statement? A devotee is one who has complete faith in Krishna's words. Later on we will hear Arjuna saying, Sarvam etat ritam manye yan mam vadasi Keshava. My dear Arj Krishna, Sarvam etat, whatever you have said, I am accepting as truth. Ritam manye yan mam vadasi Keshava. Whatever you are telling me, I am accepting as the absolute truth. This is a devotee. When do we accept somebody's words? When we have faith. So faith is the basis of devotion. Without faith, there is no question of devotion. Ashraddha dhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mam nivartante mrityu sansara vartmani. So Krishna says that those who are faithless on this path of dharma, this path of devotional service or in this path of religion or life itself, they cannot attain perfection. Rather, they will have to take birth again and again and again. Mrityu sansara vartmani, in the path of birth and death. So therefore, a devotee has faith. So if Krishna says that he has instructed Vivasvan, Arjuna must naturally accept it at face value. Then why is he not accepting? Why is he asking the question? How can I believe that you have spoken to the sun god? So Prabhupada explains that Arjuna is not inquiring for himself. Rather, he is inquiring for those who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or for the demons who do not like the idea that Krishna should be accepted as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. For them only Arjuna inquires on this point, as if he were himself not aware of the Personality of Godhead or Krishna. So Arjuna is playing a role here. Arjuna, as we have been hearing often in these classes, is an eternal associate of the Lord. And whenever the Lord descends from the spiritual world into the different universes to perform his various pastimes, he is always accompanied by eternal associates like Arjun. And sometimes, as we will see in the next verse, the associates, who are often jivas, they may forget. But Krishna, being omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, he never forgets. Rather, he may sometimes put his associates into forgetfulness for the sake of fulfilling the purpose of his pastimes. For example, if Arjuna had not been a little forgetful, he would never have become bewildered. And had he not become bewildered, he would not have refused to fight. And if he had not refused to fight, there would have been no Bhagavad Gita. And therefore all of us would have been bereft of this transcendental knowledge. So factually, Krishna also puts his devotees under his yogamaya spell, under his divine energy, so that they may fulfill the purpose for which they have descended along with Krishna here. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, Krishna Kripalu Arjunare Lokkha Koriya Jagatera Rakhiyachen Upadesha Diya. He explains that actually by aiming his instructions at Arjun, Krishna, who is very merciful, has given protection to the whole world. Krishna Kripalu Arjunare Lakha Koriya. Because Krishna is very merciful, he has aimed at Arjuna. Jagatera Rakhiya Chami, he is protecting the whole world, Upadesha Diya, by these instructions. In other words, Krishna has made Arjuna as a nimitta, as an instrument, as a via medium, to give this transcendental message to all of us. There must be some receiving person. There must be some reason for giving this knowledge. So this whole drama of the Mahabharata and so on is all simply meant so that eventually Arjuna can receive this knowledge, and through Arjuna, all of us. Of course, Krishna's pastimes have many purposes, and Arjuna's receiving the knowledge is one of them. But it's one of the very important ones. Srila Prabhupada used to say that sometimes in India, a mother-in-law or an older lady, if she wants to tell something to her daughter-in-law, she knows that the daughter-in-law, being not from her own home, she's not being her daughter, she may not take very kindly to some instructions given by the mother-in-law. There is often tension between the daughter-in-law, mother-in-law in many homes. This is something natural that has been going on from time immemorial. So the mother-in-law, who is very intelligent, will think, oh, if I tell my daughter-in-law such and such instructions, then she may not agree, and then there may be a fight in the house or something. So then she tells her daughter within the hearing range of the daughter-in-law. And she gives some instructions to the daughter and says, see, do you realize if you do this, this is what will happen. So you must do this in this way. So she somewhat chastises the daughter. And the daughter being the daughter, so it's all right, there's no problem. But in the process, the daughter-in-law hears, it's good. So she's got the message. The message has got across. In the same way, also Krishna is giving all of us the message. If we are personally chastised, we may not like it. But then Krishna is chastising Arjuna. You are only pretending that you are such a learned person. But actually you are not learned. You are a great fool, Arjuna. You should not be lamenting. So in this way, through Arjuna, Krishna is actually chastising us. He is actually teaching us. But not directly. So therefore, Arjuna is now playing this role for the sake of all of us in asking this most important question. And he wants to hear it from Krishna's own lotus mouth. Once and for all, he wants to settle all these things because he knows that the demons will never accept. So now he wants the supreme authority himself to speak and clear up this matter once and for all. That is one speciality or very unique point about the Bhagavad Gita. There are many religious books in this world, and most of them in the different religions of the world, they consist of the statements of some prophets or some holy men, some saintly people about God. But here, you don't hear about someone speaking about God, but in the Bhagavad Gita, you hear God speaking about himself. This is something very special, very unique. Therefore, the very title itself is Bhagavad Gita, the song of God. It's not somebody else's song. So Krishna himself speaks. At the same time, Krishna also knows that there are many who will doubt his words. So therefore, he also speaks through his devotees. So those who will doubt Krishna will listen to his devotees, perhaps they will hear them. Those who doubt the devotees will hear Krishna, perhaps they may believe him. So Krishna doesn't leave any avenue open. For example, in Chaitanya Leela, we hear that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to South India soon after taking sannyas, he met Ramananda Rai on the banks of the Godavari. And they spent many hours together in transcendental bliss, discussing topics of Krishna, very intimate topics about Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him some very deep questions, one after the other. And Ramananda Rai replied. And he said, my dear Lord, actually, it is you who are asking the question, and actually you who are answering them also. Because I am not capable of answering these questions. I have no knowledge. I am not qualified. But you are sitting within my heart, and you are speaking these words, and vibrating my tongue so that I can speak all these words, just like an expert musician plays on his instrument and creates sounds as per his will. And the sounds become very melodious because he is very expert. Similarly, I have no understanding of what I am speaking, but all I know is that you are the speaker and you are the listener. And you are doing this for your own transcendental and inconceivable purpose. So the Lord does this sometimes to glorify his devotees so that they get the credit of having spoken such wonderful transcendental knowledge. And he also wants to address those people who may perhaps not have so much faith directly in himself, but who may not mind hearing some sadhus and some saintly people. Also, it is noteworthy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never wrote any literatures himself. The only things that he personally composed were his Shikshashtakam prayers, just 8 verses. That's all he really left behind as far as his own writings are concerned. But the rest of the divine knowledge he left to his devotees, to his disciples, and in particular the 6 Goswamis. The main instruction he gave to the Goswamis was that you should write transcendental literatures establishing the conclusion of devotional service to Krishna as the essence. And for this purpose, you should study all the revealed scriptures and bring out the essence of that. You should also excavate all the lost holy places where Krishna performed his pastimes when he appeared here in Vrindavan. And you should also erect wonderful temples of Krishna so that the public, the people at large, may come and get benefit. And by your own behavior, you should demonstrate what a Vaishnava should be, how he should live, how he should worship, etc. So Krishna often speaks through his devotees and gives them credit. Now the six Goswamis have the credit of doing all these wonderful literatures. Srila Prabhupada has the credit of writing all these wonderful books that we see here that have spread throughout the world. And Prabhupada also acknowledged that actually these purports are simply Krishna speaking. It's not me. Prabhupada said, I enjoy reading my own books because they're not my books. Actually, they're Krishna's books. Because it is Krishna speaking. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahitar Pravartan. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So unless one is empowered by Krishna, one cannot preach, one cannot have the power, one cannot have the strength to make change in the world, in the lives of people. So the fact that these books have changed the lives of millions and millions of people and will continue to do so for thousands of years more is evidence that Srila Prabhupada was supremely empowered by Krishna to write all these wonderful literatures. That is why it has such an impact. Because Krishna likes to glorify his devotees. He likes to see his devotees get the credit. And he also knows that there are many people who are very suspicious about him. So therefore he sometimes speaks himself and sometimes through his devotees. Srila Prabhupada further on explains, of course, Krishna also appeared as a son of Devaki on this earth. How Krishna remained the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, the eternal original person, is very difficult for an ordinary man to understand. Therefore, to clarify this point, Arjuna put this question before Krishna so that he himself could speak authoritatively. Can someone do the mic? Seems to be going off on its own. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Anyway, I think you can all hear me, so. To understand Krishna as the Supreme Lord is not easy. Because Krishna has enacted such human-like pastimes that bewilder the minds of those who don't have devotion and faith. And here Srila Prabhupada gives the example that this is inconceivable. If Krishna is God, how could he be born from the womb of a human being, of a lady? How is that possible? So questions such as this arise in the minds of those who have less faith. Therefore, Arjuna wants all these things to be clarified. Arjuna wants Krishna to speak himself about his own nature, about his own supremacy, about his divine appearances, and so on. And since the demons alone reject Krishna, now Krishna, as Arjuna as his devotee, wants to establish this fact. Sometimes Krishna hides the fact that he is a Supreme Personality of Godhead.
That's his nature. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, it is said, Ishvara Shabhav, that is the nature of Ishvara, God is, Aishwarya Chahe Achhadite. He likes to hide his opulence. That's his nature. He doesn't like to display that I am God. Although he may do it time to time for various purposes. But his Swabhav, his own nature, is that he likes to hide it. He just likes to be an ordinary person amongst all the ordinary persons around him. When he was in Vrindavan, he just preferred to be an ordinary cowherd boy. When Brahma came, and he was trying to offer him so many wonderful prayers, and all the cowherd boys around him were getting bewildered, who is this golden complexion, very powerful person with four heads who has come here and was offering prayers like this to Krishna? And Krishna wasn't interested. He basically was a little indifferent to Brahma when he came to offer prayers. And he was a little grim in his appearance. Although Brahmaji was really repentant and he was begging forgiveness, but Krishna was a little stern. And he spoke with a very deep voice. But his mind, the acharyas explained, was with his friends. And he was thinking, this is like a disturbance to me. This four-headed Brahma is coming here offering all this glorification that I'm the Lord of the Vedas and the Lord of the universes and so on. But actually, I just want to be playing with my cowherd boyfriends and I want to be grazing my cows. Why is he coming and causing this disturbance to me by offering all these big, big prayers? Bhakta thani lukayito nare hoyto vidite. So although Krishna likes to cover his opulence and not display it, but he is unsuccessful in front of his devotees. Bhakta thani. So when he is in the company of his devotees, all the truths are revealed. Hoito vidite. This is well known everywhere. That means this nature of the Lord, that although he likes to hide his opulence, but he cannot do so in front of his devotees, is a well known fact. This is the verdict of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sometimes Krishna reveals also himself. We see in the Chaitanya Bhagavat and also to some extent in the Chaitanya Charitamrita the story of how this great pure devotee Brahmana once came to the house of Jagannath Mishra and Shachimata when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was playing as baby Nimai in their house. And you all know the pastime of how he cooked several times and he placed the bhoga on the altar, but somehow or other child Nimai came into the room and ate the offerings. And the Brahmana thought that the offerings had been spoiled. He did not realize that the offerings were not spoiled. Rather, he had attained the perfection of his life because the Lord had personally come and accepted those offerings. Finally, when it happened for the third time, and the Brahmana was really frustrated, then Chaitanya Nimai told him, my dear Brahmana, you do not know who I am. He displayed an eight-armed form before the Brahmana. Of these eight arms, four had they had the Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, the lotus flower, the disc, the mace, and what's the fourth one? The lotus flower, the discus, the disc. So these four were in the four arms. In two arms, he was eating butter, because that's what he does as a child in Vrindavan. And in two arms, he was playing the flute. When the Brahmana saw this vision, he was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy and he fell down unconscious. And then the whole vision of Vrindavan appeared before his eyes, with all the kadamba trees and all the chirping of the birds and everything else, the cows and the gopas and gopis and everything. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that, my dear Brahmana, actually you are my eternal servant life after life. Even when I appeared in my previous birth 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan, in the house of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, you also, as a wandering mendicant, you came there And you appeared before me, and you had my darshan even there, but now you do not remember. Now you may stay here in this village for some days, in this town, and you may get my association. Many wonderful things will be revealed to you, but I warn you, I will punish you if you dare to reveal this secret to anyone. Till I am here, till my manifest pastimes are not over, you should never reveal what you have seen today and what you have learnt. And then this Brahmana stayed in Navadvip for some time, for some days, in complete ecstasy, and after a few days he left. So sometimes the Lord reveals his own nature also to his devotees. He also did to Sridhar Kolavecha, but Kolavecha could not understand. Sridhar Kolavecha was a great devotee of Mother Ganga. And whatever meager income he would get, 50% of that he would keep aside for worship of Mother Ganga and 50% for his own maintenance. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come and speak in such an impudent, insolent way. And he would sometimes criticize Mother Ganga. And he would say that you are worshipping with 50% of your income Mother Ganga, and you're ignoring me, who's a lord of Mother Ganga, who is the origin of the Mother Ganga. And Sridhar would think that this was blasphemy. And then he would hold his ears and say, Vishnu, Vishnu, this impudent young Brahmana boy is becoming more and more arrogant by the day. You know, it's a very bad association for me. So although the Lord revealed his true nature at that time, but Sridhar Kolavecha could not understand. Eventually, during the Mahaprakash Leela, when the Lord actually went on the altar and sat on the throne of Lord Vishnu and fulfilled all the devotees' desires, and he manifested his various Virat roops and different other forms, then to his devotees he publicly displayed his original nature of the Supreme, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes, however, in the later leelas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see that even though he did not want it known that he was a Supreme Lord, the devotees would understand. When the Lord was teaching Sanatan Goswami at Varanasi, he gave many wonderful instructions, and then Sanatan Goswami started asking some questions. And at one point, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was discussing the various avatars of the Lord, then Sanatan Goswami very cleverly asked him the symptoms of the incarnation in Kali Yuga. And he was looking very pointedly at the Lord. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, oh, you are very clever, Sanatan. But no, I will not accept this. Because Sanatan was trying to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to declare himself, you know, that he was the Supreme Lord. But the Lord would not do that. And Sanatan Goswami very cleverly was giving the hints. But of course, Mahaprabhu understood, and Sanatan Goswami understood. Mahaprabhu could not hide his identity from Sanatan Goswami. Similarly, the verse that I quoted earlier, Ishvara Swabhava, that verse was spoken in connection to Haridas Thakur. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas Thakur that how is it that all these different living entities in the world can be delivered? And Haridas Thakur had explained very nicely how the Lord's mercy was incomparable and that all living entities would be delivered. Mahaprabhu was very, very astonished to hear how Haridas Thakur understood the deepest truths about him. So the Lord could not hide his own identity even from Haridas Thakur. So in this way we see that the Lord sometimes reveals himself. Sometimes forcefully, like in the Mahaprakash Leela, he forcefully revealed himself to all his devotees, and the devotees understood. Sometimes he reveals his identity to his devotees and they are not able to understand. Sometimes he doesn't want to reveal himself, but the devotees understand that he is the Lord. So the Lord's dealings with his devotees are inconceivable. The Lord is completely independent in his dealings. And according to what makes the pastime more relishable, he does that accordingly. Here, Lord Krishna is going to reveal the truths about himself, because that's the very purpose of this pastime. And therefore, Arjuna has been prompted from within his heart to ask this all-important question. How is it that you instructed this knowledge that you are telling me now, millions of years ago, to the sun god Vivasvan? And with this, Arjuna is eager that all misunderstandings about the transcendental position of Krishna may be destroyed. And in conclusion, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, Arjuna's putting this question before the Lord is simply an attempt by the devotee to defy the atheistic attitude of persons who consider Krishna to be an ordinary human being, subject to the modes of material nature. And now, with this background, from next verse, we will see Krishna's wonderful transcendental response, when Krishna will speak personally about himself. So we'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. That means the question is that in the course of the lecture it was mentioned that from young to old, from junior to senior, there should be a flow of respect. And from old to young and from senior to junior, there should be flow of affection and there should be shelter. So that was the clarification, right? You wanted clarification on that. In other words, those who are older should give shelter to those who are younger, should give affection to those who are younger. But the olders, or those who are older, will be inspired to do that if they see that respect flowing naturally. It's a two-way street. Yes. Well, if the junior gives the respect but it doesn't receive the corresponding affection and shelter, what should he do? Well, as I mentioned in the lecture, that since it's a two-way street, both must be there in order to have a very stable and nice community. Even in the outside world, what to speak of devotees. But regardless, even though there will be some disturbance when one of the parties doesn't do their roles, from our side, we should try to do our part. Whatever we are expected to do, we should do. Whether or not we receive what we expect, but at least we should do what is expected of us. That is our duty. It will never be in vain. Doing our part, doing our duties in life, regardless of what other people do or don't do, is a formula to be peaceful and happy in life. If we place as a condition for our performance of duties that other people should perform their duties first and then I will do so, then we will be always miserable. We are generating karma for ourselves unnecessarily by avoiding our duty on the pretext that others are not doing so. Oh, why are you waking me up for Mangal Arati? What about them? Well, that person doesn't come for Mangal Arati, so why not wake him up? Why only me? Isn't it? So, well, my duty is to come. Regardless of whether that person does his duty or not, that's another question. That's between him and Krishna. But I must do my duty. question is that Karna showed respect to Parshuram, and Parshuram remained hard-hearted and did not give affection. That is not completely true. He gave his affection till he realized that Karna had lied. Because Parshuram, as you know, he didn't like Kshatriyas. And that's why he'd already killed the Kshatriyas 21 times over. And yes, he was pleased, but then Karna had lied. Bhishma had not lied. It was evident, everyone knew who was Bhishma. But when he asked his Varna, Karna lied and said, I'm a Brahmana. And you know the story that when Parshuram was taking rest, keeping his head on Karna's lap, and suddenly he was woken from his sleep because he felt some hot liquid trickling down his face, and he woke up and was horrified to see that it was actually blood. It was blood from the body of Karna, because one insect was biting his body and the blood had flown out and come on to Parshuram's face. And then Parshuram understood that this could not be a Brahmana, because only a Kshatriya can tolerate so much physical pain and not flinch. So he said, you have lied, tell me your true identity, who are you? And then Karna begged forgiveness, but it was too late. Parshuram was already upset. He said, you lied to me. And therefore you will forget what I have taught you at the very moment that you require this knowledge the most. And that indeed happened. So had Karna...
Yes. But of course, as you know, Bhishma also had a tiff with his martial guru when it came to Amba's wedding. Amba or Ambalika, I think Amba. Amba's wedding. When Bhishma had kidnapped the sisters for being married to Ambika, Ambalika and Amba, to be married to his brothers Vichitra Virya and Chitrangada. And then Ambar refused, saying that I'm already decided to marry Shalya. Or Shalva, I think Shalva. Shalva. And then Shalva refused, saying already some other man has taken you, so I cannot marry you. She came back to Bhishma, now you should marry. He said, no, I've taken the vow of Brahmacharya. Then she went to his guru Parshuram, and Parshuram said, oh, Bhishma, you must do, you must marry. He said, no. I have my vow, I cannot break my vow. There was a big battle between the two, and they were equally matched. And then Parshuram said, all right, you can go ahead. Okay, so thank you very much. We will stop here. And from tomorrow, there will be very, very interesting verses, a whole series of very wonderful verses. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada.